afternoon, everybody. Happy Tuesday, day after President's Day. If you're like me, it feels like Monday and you're spinning your wheels crazy because you're trying to catch up from having the day off of yesterday. But welcome to Hashtag No Limits. I'm your host, Shelley Kino. And Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Society says, I'm so sorry. Ophelia says in Hamlet, I don't know, I'll get to society in a minute. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves into goo, into its cells, and then it reforms into the butterfly. And if that isn't difficult enough, then it has to struggle in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly once it gets out of the cocoon. And we actually do it a disservice if we try to help it out of the cocoon. Then we are not letting its wings grow to their full potential. While none of that is easy, I can't imagine at least, it isn't easy busting through those limits that society sets upon a person or an organization. Our teachers also have limits placed upon them. For those who don't know, well, actually, I'll let Ildi explain that when we get to that part. I'm just going to keep rambling today. I'm not sure what's going on with me, but I'm so excited to introduce my new friend. I just met her for the first time last week via phone. Her name is Ildi Lasko-Kerr. Did I get it right?
Kerr. Okay. Oh, you so got close. The easy part, or the hard part. Hard part, right? The easy part.
Right. Yeah, that's about par for the course. I'm messing up my intro. It's just a great day today. Told you, the day after a holiday messes with me. So, Ildi, thank you for joining me today. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thanks for having me, Shelley. I'm so happy to be here. Well, hello from Phoenix, Arizona, where unlike the usual, it's not sunny. We're a little cloudy today. So,
oh, wow.
I am, the CEO and co-founder of Ribbit Learning Company, but Ribbit is actually the third educational company that I've created and started with my co-founder and colleagues. And my work has been for over 20 years in education. And so I like to tell people that my career spans the classroom to the boardroom. So I've been a governing board member in a traditional elementary school district here. I've worked with teachers and leaders in a variety of different school settings, traditional district and charter. I've taught in higher ed. So my passion is in education. And so I'm really excited to be here to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing in Ribbit and how it connects to the work that you're doing. And I'll just start with this little story, because your story of the butterfly really resonates with me, because the name Ribbit actually came from this idea that we wanted to radically transform how teachers thought about and experienced their professional learning. And so for us, nothing radically transforms more than a tadpole to a frog. So that's hence the name Ribbit. That's where that came from. So we don't really lean into our frog imagery very much, but every once in a while, you'll see it like on our webpage and in a few little sections. But so this idea of radical transformation, in particular in education and with teachers, is something that I've been really passionate about for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I figured that Ribbit might be somehow connected to the frog, but I really didn't know. So I'm glad that you shared that with us already today. So one of the things that I started to allude to is the fact that teachers are a group of people, and they are required in most states. I'm not sure if it's in all states, but I know I'm in Illinois, and I know we certainly have to do professional development. We have a certain number that we have to do every so many years in order to renew our certification. And for anyone who's joining me who doesn't know, I am a special education teacher. It says it behind me. And I did that for the majority of my career. But kind of similar to you, Ildi, I've been in multiple positions. I've taught kindergarten through eighth grade students. I've substituted in all the grade levels. I was a youth group leader for high school. I've pretty much been in education since the time I started school as a five-year-old until today. I've been connected in some way. And so why is it important for teachers to have that continuing education?
Well, so part of the work that we do in Ribbit and our mission is to help K-12 schools develop and retain their teachers, especially teachers of color, so that we can advance equitable learning opportunities for students and teachers. So this idea of continuing education is critical to equity and supporting students. Because we know that a significant amount of professional learning falls under the kind of the umbrella of working conditions. Some of your listeners might have heard this, the old adage that teachers' working conditions are students' learning conditions. So I'd extend that to say students' learning conditions are entirely dependent on teachers' learning conditions. So if teachers aren't learning in a way that is effective and supporting their growth in their practice, then they can't be expected truly to implement that in their classroom and ultimately provide students the type of learning opportunities that we want them to have. So ongoing professional learning is critical really to any profession. But in the teaching workforce, it's really essential because the changes in pedagogy and understanding of how to support students grows over time in our practice. And certainly there's new opportunities for learning all the time. And so truly focusing on that development is a critical part. But that development is also what helps keep teachers sustained in the workforce, right? Being able to advance in schools and different positions, but really feeling satisfied and supported is a huge part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's exactly what you said. There's been so much change. You know, my world of special education, the law came into play over 40 years ago, and we're still learning so much, and so much seems to come out on a daily basis. And, you know, the whole concept of hashtag no limits is that we don't know what the future holds, is, you know, kind of the underlying idea there. And that's the same thing for our teachers. It's not just for our students. And so I was really happy to find you because I haven't been able to have a whole lot of things in all of my episodes specifically for teachers. And I'm really pleased to be able to do this episode with you today because I don't want people to think, oh, she only ever talks about kids and what kids need. And we don't bash schools by any stretch of the imagination on these episodes, and certainly not teachers, because then I'd just be, you know, punching myself in the face basically. So I'm not going to be doing that. But it's, you know, I think this definitely fits into the hashtag no limits because our teachers need to learn as much as they can, which is what you were saying, in order to help our students grow as much as they need to grow. Mm-hmm. And we're in a society now where it's very different from when I was growing up. When I was growing up, teachers were very well respected. They were revered. They were looked at as, you know, somebody who was in a very noble position of employment. And now it's almost the opposite. You know, it's as though teachers can't do anything right in society's eyes in a lot of ways. And they are feeling very stressed. They are feeling very burdened. The pandemic really has put tons and tons of pressure on teachers. And we now have come out of that, but our kids are different. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't, my teaching, I stopped full-time teaching before the pandemic hit, so I haven't experienced it. But teachers that I speak to have just, that's one of their biggest concerns is how different kids are now than they were before the pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. The schools and teachers that I work with actually have said, gosh, repeatedly that this year back in Arizona full time, lots of schools in Arizona stayed out virtual or hybrid for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of like our first real full year back. And so many teachers have said this year is actually harder than the pandemic year when everything was in an upheaval, right? And the learning curve for everyone, classroom teachers, students, administrators, was through the roof with trying to figure out how to quickly pivot and address technology and provide instruction online. As hard as that was for teachers, this year is so much harder. And it's exactly because of what you're saying, that the students that are coming to school have been impacted in such a different way. And what we know just about impact of societal circumstances is that it is not normally distributed. So there are teachers in schools that are getting a much larger share of that burden than in other schools, just by the nature of the student population that they're serving. And I imagine teachers who support students with disabilities and students who are experiencing poverty and homelessness and other factors have all of those things that previously they were also managing and dealing in their classroom, but now they have sort of this hangover effect of COVID. It's hard. It really is. And part of that support to them is, how do we make the other things that they have to do in their life less horrible?
Right.
How can we provide supports to them on those things that are slightly more mundane that still need to get accomplished? Or how do we give them the support that they need that really, truly makes them feel valued?
Yes. And so how are you doing that?
So Ribbit is a startup. So I'm very excited that it's been in development. We actually came up with this idea from work that I was doing in small rural parts of Arizona. And I was sort of lamenting about the lack of equity in providing and scaling professional development supports that I knew through my own practice decades, but also through decades of research were critical to developing and retaining teachers. And so we thought, well, surely there's got to be some technology out there that I could just use, because I was really looking for something for myself.
And that's how a lot of startups begin.
Because exactly.
It's like, I have a problem. How am I going to solve it?
I have a problem. I'm driving all over the place. It's not fair to these teachers. I actually love road trips. So it's not about driving for me, but the added cost to a school that isn't in a metro area is significant and just means that their teachers aren't getting the same support that they need because of other costs. And so I thought, well, surely there's some technology that I could use to help kind of scale some of the pieces, automate some pieces of the work, provide, again, this is before COVID, so we weren't using Zoom for coaching sessions and things like that. One of the benefits of COVID, if there are a few, is that teachers now see their own professional learning in a virtual setting, whereas prior to COVID, that would have actually, I think, been a bit of a struggle. So we looked and couldn't find anything. And so we decided, well, we'll build it ourselves. And so we're creating what we call the Learning Hub. And it's a learning experience platform that is designed to be a single tool from that teachers can use from literally their first day of teaching and actually in pre-service all the way through to their retirement. So it is a tool that grows with them, that provides them opportunities that we say gives them voice, choice, and agency in their professional learning, which who doesn't want voice, choice, and agency, right? Our students right. want that.
Exactly.
Guess what? Our teachers want that too. And they often actually almost never get voice, choice, and agency in their own professional learning practices. They're always told that this is what the professional development that they're going to get is going to be this year. They're told that this is the area that their growth because the school is struggling. And all of those things are important and from a systems perspective. But what teachers want is to grow in their own practice. And so that's what our focus is. So there are three critical parts to our Learning Hub. One is a customized professional learning plan that a teacher creates. So the first thing that they do is they get to choose what they want to grow in. We've aligned it to the NTASC standards, which are the national teaching standards that undergird the national board certification process. So imagine being on the road to be nationally board certification on your first day of teaching. And so that's the pathway that we can put every teacher on because the work that they're doing is aligned to those standards. Once they've identified the area of growth, the system kind of walks them through and automates the creation of a SMART goal, which isn't really hard to do, but time consuming. Mm-hmm. So it's very quick to accomplish a SMART goal. And then that really populates their action plan. And so it's a tool that can help them both facilitate their learning, but manage all of the mechanics of that. And in most schools right now, that's either in an Excel spreadsheet, a bunch of Word documents, something in a Google Drive, right? So it's a hodgepodge. I like to say professionally, it's a hot mess. So that part of our workroom is really automating and managing all of those pieces. It's also where teachers get resources and support that we provide to them. So we're curating with content partners and affiliates content to be able to put into the Learning Hub. And our value add is that we are actually tagging every piece of resource to those content standards. So when a teacher says, I want an article, a video, a template for whatever it is that they're specifically learning, we're going to give them access to that. But we've already filtered through all of the noise that might be on the internet and only curating content that's really supporting their area of growth. So saving them time from having to, you know, go down rabbit holes all over the internet. One of the critical parts of support that they identify when they create their action plan is working with a live virtual instructional coach. And so that's the second core piece of our Learning Hub. Every teacher, no matter what or where they teach, has access to a minimum of 3 hours of live instructional coaching through their annual subscription. Now, schools can purchase additional coaching hours for teachers if they're new or struggling or on an improvement plan. But what schools can't do is take your hours away from you to give them to me because I'm a struggling teacher. So we've created a way where every teacher gets that critical support because our instructional coaches, their only job is to help teachers implement what they're learning in their classroom. So they're experts in coaching, they're former teachers, and their job is to really help teachers process and reflect and apply and then continue that cycle over and over again till that new learning becomes permanent in their practice. And then the third part that's really exciting is an opportunity for professional learning networks that are collaborative spaces or affinity groups that teachers can join to be able to share and support resources with other teachers across the country. And so it gives even a brand new teacher an opportunity to take a leadership role and to support and mentor other teachers because it isn't about their years of experience, but the engagement that they have in the collaborative space that really drives that development of them and their practice. And so we're really excited to bring those three legs of a highly effective professional learning system in one single tool for teachers.
Wow.
That's a lot. I'm trying to fix every problem that I've ever made in a with one single piece of technology.
Well, and it sounds like you are well on your way to doing that. And as you were speaking, I was just thinking about my years of, as I said, full-time teaching and special education. And because special education serves a minor population of all students who are being educated, we in our area would have days where, you know, maybe an agency was putting on a whole day of training and they would bring in, you know, hundreds of different speakers covering all these different topics. And as a special education teacher, I really had to go through with a fine-tooth comb to find stuff that related to me in the special education world. There was lots of stuff for primary teachers, tons. And I mean, I would probably, I've never done the math, but I would guess that probably 65 to 70% of available options were for primary teachers. So that only left, you know, 30 to 35% for all the other occupations in education, your administrators, your special ed teachers, your music, your PE, your psychologists, your social workers, you know, all your related service personnel. And we had to go through and find stuff that related to what we did in order to make that valuable. And most of the time in a whole day session, I might find one that truly related. Anything else would sort of be, you know, like a spider's web kind of, I can kind of connect that to, you know, my daily life.
Well, and the worst part is you were left to connect it yourself.
Right.
So if you attended a general education session, which, yeah, there might have been some things of value in there, of course, but there wasn't anyone there to say, okay, Shelley, now that you attended that session, let's talk about what that might look like in your classroom, right? That stress, that burden, that load was placed on you as the teacher, right? So if we think about, again, back to just good instruction and decreasing, you know, the negativity of teachers' work load and working conditions, kind of taking some of that burden off of the classroom teacher to problem solve and figure it out. And the reality is teachers don't problem solve and figure out. It's too taxing. Right. It's too difficult. And so whatever value that session could have had in your classroom was lost because it doesn't get translated. And so that's really one of the critical pieces for us in terms of when I say radically changing the experience for teachers is, yeah, we can, and I used to call it cheeks in seats professional development, right? I can have a captive audience of teachers and train them on all kinds of things. And, you know, we know what the research is around transfer of that kind of a learning environment. It's almost nothing. Right. It's only when we apply coaching and support with that learning that that translates into changes in practice and then ultimately impacts student achievement. So for us, the coaching modality and that support for teachers is really the lead driver in improvement and change in teachers' practice. And when I say improvement, I don't say that somebody is bad at something and they need to improve. It's this idea of a growth mindset. So no matter how good you are at delivering, you know, any kind of particular type of instruction, we can continue to get better with better practice and support.
Right. Absolutely. And as an individual, I provide professional development at these conferences that I've, you know, just mentioned.
Me too.
And or similar types of conferences. And all of my stuff is special education related. And I get, you know, I'm doing exactly what we're talking about. You know, I'm giving them these, like, hey, you know, these are some things that you can do, but I don't have the opportunity to follow up with them. You know, I always tell them if you have any questions afterwards, you know, here's my contact information. But a lot of teachers can't or don't take the time to do that. And I'll be honest, Ildi, there were so many workshops that I went to and I left there thinking, wow, this was great. You know, I'm going to take all this stuff back and I'm going to implement it into my classroom. And sometimes I did, but most of the time I didn't. You know, I might try something that one of these people had taught me or a different approach or whatever. But then if it didn't work, I didn't often even repeat it or try a different way to implement it into my classroom. And so, yeah, I mean, even though we're getting all of this training, and like I said, in many states it's required, what do we do with it?
Yeah, the U.S. spends, this is going to be an astronomical number, $18 billion on professional learning for teachers in schools. $15 billion of that is really school and district implemented, kind of created. So people pulling together elements. Guess how much of that is wasted?
All of it.
Almost all of it, right? Not because, not with any malintent.
Right.
But because it's just a ridiculous amount of learning that isn't accompanied with any support. And then when we started to look at just the space around development and retention, you know, we're as a system, as a society, because of the high teacher turnover, and again, teacher turnover is not normally distributed either. The students who have the most significant needs have the highest teacher turnover in their classrooms. Due to turnover, we're spending, you know, and wasting about $13 billion a year on teachers either leaving the profession entirely or moving between schools where whatever their professional learning was in their previous school doesn't necessarily translate to the expectations in their current school. So it's truly, you know, not only are we at a crisis level for teachers leaving the profession, you know, we're wasting billions of dollars that could really be reinvested into education systems, into addressing other, you know, systemic drivers of turnover, into addressing teacher salaries in a real meaningful way. And so that's part of our goal at Ribbit is, can we provide schools and systems a tool to support their teachers, increase the teacher retention so that the schools aren't wasting all of these, you know, resources that they can then redistribute back into the classroom and into other ways? And, you know, we think from a logic model perspective, it makes a lot of sense. And schools certainly want to do it. They're doing some, you know, really innovative things to try to keep teachers now. But at the heart of it, none of those things are changing the working conditions. that teachers are, you know, kind of facing. And so we think our goal is with our technology is to take a teeny piece of the working conditions, you know, kind of framework and help to stop the sieve, really, right? Like kind of plug the holes in the dam so that we can start to see some changes, and then kind of the trickle down effect of what that would look like, I think could be really significant.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm thinking, and I do want to say we have Fran joining us from Southern Illinois. So hi, Fran. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Fran.
I'm just thinking about, you know, like I said before, if I had had a plan and kind of had a map of, all right, you know, this is what I want to learn. This area is what I need to increase for my own self-esteem to feel like I'm really providing what the students need. And therefore, if my self-esteem is elevated because I feel like I've been trained to do what I need to do for all of my students, even though my working conditions aren't perfect, or, you know, getting along with my colleagues, or maybe my administration doesn't support me as much, I'm still going to feel better about being in my classroom every day. And so if I'm just imagining that, you know, if, okay, here's this path I'm going to take, and it's not, these aren't like college semester type classes, right?
No, nope, not
so
at all.
So talk to that a little bit. And then if you don't answer what I'm thinking in my head, I'll ask you.
Yeah, our goal is to provide teachers with as much access to resources that, one, are flexible, and two, provide them with what we think of kind of just-in-time support in the flow of their work. So when I am struggling with, or I want to focus on, you know, using data to drive my instruction, let's say that's, you know, kind of my big goal. You know, yes, could I sign up for a class at the university? Well, maybe, I don't know, depends on what what university you have close to you. But there's probably, you know, full length courses on data driven decision making. There are certainly books and books and books on those topics. Mm-hmm. That's not information that can be synthesized in a meaningful way for a classroom teacher quickly. And so what we try to do as we're curating content is to take resources that are available, distill them and synthesize them into their core parts, or find those that are already really well synthesized so that teachers can understand the actionable part of that strategy and then begin to figure out how to implement that in their classroom. Now, some teachers clearly want all the theoretical background and the constructs and all those pieces. They will have access to primary source documents, research articles, those elements as well. But for the teacher who just wants a data tracker, mm-hmm. because what I really need is some tool to be able to use data more effectively in my classroom. I don't need a lecture on why using data is important. Then they can pick through all of the resources that we curate for them and choose those resources that really most directly align to the area that they want to grow in. And so that back to this idea of rethinking professional learning, it isn't just a 3-hour workshop with an expert that's been paid for by the school or district. It isn't just going to a conference and attending, you know, sessions in a beautiful ballroom, right? Professional learning is a really robust set of complex activities that happen, but they don't have to be all these huge grand gestures. They could be really focused, targeted support to help increase teachers' knowledge and practice.
So you did answer, but I do just kind of want to reiterate. So it isn't like it's a massive time constraint. You know, it isn't like you're signing up and saying, okay, every Tuesday from now until Christmas time, or now until the end of the school year, I'm going to attend this 1-hour session and I'm going to, you know, end up with this knowledge at the end. It sounds like, at least, that it can be I don't want to say as little time as you want to put into it, but that there's a minimum amount of time, and the maximum amount of time is can be that minimum. Or it can be more. Is that correct?
Yeah, to borrow a term that so many of us kind of roll our eyes at now. So it's really a lot of asynchronous learning, right? That term from COVID. it's providing teachers the resources, giving them the agency to choose the resources that they need to grow in their practice, giving them time to implement it, and then a support system with either colleagues in those professional learning networks or a coach to help problem solve with them when they're trying to implement in their classrooms. And so that, to us, all three of those facets of professional learning ultimately are a teacher's professional learning plan. It isn't just, you know, show up one, you know, on a monthly basis and, you know, sit in front of a computer and listen to an expert. It could literally be, I just needed a job aid, some kind of a visual representation of some process that I was getting stuck in. And that is what the light bulb goes off for a teacher. And all of a sudden, okay, now I can see how this will change my practice. I'm going to try this in my classroom. I'm going to see if it works with my kids. And then I'm going to reflect on it and talk about it with my coach. And my coach can say, wow, Shelley, that's awesome. Let's look at some of the data. Like, well, how do you know that it worked? Or, you know, what would you like to enhance next time? You know, how many more times do you want to give it a try to see if it really is going to stick in to like the way that you plan for your students? And it's that iteration and the conversations that for us actually represent real learning. It's right. The kind of learning we ask teachers to do for students, but we never give it to teachers. And so that's really ultimately the shift that we're trying to facilitate with this technology is, one, treating teachers like professionals, knowing that they know what they need, and if they had all the resources at their fingertips, that they would select wisely and put that into their classroom, and then ultimately creating them a support system that can help them demonstrate that they're growing in their practice so that it doesn't take, oodles of time to do that.
Right. So I do have two questions, and I was writing the one down, but just at the end there, you made me think of something else. So I want to talk to you about the difference between professional learning versus professional development. But before I get to that, what do you say to the teacher? Do you offer something if a teacher comes to you and they're so overwhelmed and they are like, I don't know what I need? And here you've got this amazing resource with thousands and thousands, I'm guessing, of, you know, different paths that the teacher can take. So how do you help that teacher, or do you have something developed to help that teacher?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I said that the teacher gets to choose what they want to focus on, the way we facilitate that is by, one, presenting the in-task standards, just the names of the standard. There are 9 of them. You can literally click on learning environments, diversity of students, and, you know, content knowledge. Let's say those are the 3 areas that I might want to work on. Once you click on those 3, the system will actually present teachers essentially kind of a self-assessment. The in-task standards are leveled 1, 2, and 3. They're not named beginning, intermediate, or advanced. But as you can imagine, level 3 kinds of practices and behavior are much more deeply grounded in standards than a level 1 is. And so what we've taken the indicators and translated them into behavioral statements. So teachers rate themselves 1 out of 5 stars. How often do I use data to drive my instruction? 1 out of 5. Well, if I rate myself as a 1, after I go through the self-assessment, and a brand new teacher is only ever going to see level 1 items until they score themselves high enough to see level 2 and 2 to 3. Okay. So we're not overwhelming teachers with 400 behavioral statements. They're getting a small number. And then the system will give them back the results so that they can prioritize this very, very specific indicator that they want to work on. So again, not the whole standard, but really clear, actionable behavior statements that they can then work on. Now, some teachers might want to take the lowest rated one and grow from there because that's the way their brain works. Other teachers like me, because I like to check a box every once in a while, might be like, oh, I'm a 3 or 4 out of 5 on this one. I actually want to get to 5. And so that's what I want to work on. Doesn't matter. Teachers get to pick it. And then that starts the process of SMART goal creation and action planning. If a teacher is still overwhelmed by that process, they can actually ask to work with their coach right at that moment. So they don't have to wait to create a SMART goal or have an action plan to seek out a coach. They can seek out a coach right away, and that coach could help facilitate their kind of discovery and their self-evaluation with them.
That's incredible. That is because I was just thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we're all so technology overloaded, I think, right now. And especially during the pandemic, I know teachers were, but yeah. Even still, I think, you know, it's just like, oh gosh, it's one more thing, you know, and so to have that actual person mm-hmm. be able to chat with them and for that teacher to say, yeah, I think I'm, you know, struggling with this, or my administration says, you know, that this year our whole school district goal is diversity or whatever, yeah. You know, where do I even begin? And so that's fantastic that you have something like that already in place. And as I told you last week when I spoke to you, you have the ideal that I didn't even know was my ideal. I mean, as I said, I provide professional development, and I'm going to talk about the difference there in just a second. But yeah, like you have it streamlined so beautifully, and you have really, I think, based on what I'm hearing, thought about almost every potential teacher that and every potential want that they would have as far as this type of situation going for them and this type of service being available to them. And so I'm blown away by all that you have in place already, because as you said, this is a startup company. When did you technically start the company?
Technically, we incorporated in 2001. And so we've okay. been doing this. So we had thought about kind of the process, what it would look like, obviously, during COVID. In 2021, we incorporated the company. And then really, thank you for validating the work that my team did. It's really a team effort to make sure that we listen to the voices of teachers and leaders. So we spend about 6 months interviewing and doing focus groups with teachers from kindergarten all the way through high school. High school CTE teachers to, you know, generalists, principals and superintendents. So before we designed a single part of our technology, we spent a long time talking with the people who we wanted to support. Now, I had obviously a lot of ideas myself, being that I worked in schools and worked with teachers, but I didn't want to just come with my lens because I know that it's biased. Right. And so we intentionally worked with teachers, in particular classroom teachers, to help us understand what were their real problems of practice. How could we support them if they had like their ideal kind of system or support system? What components would it include? And so that's how we ultimately came up with the configuration of the support and the tools that are in the Learning Hub. Because what I told everyone on my team is if we create something that doesn't actually move the needle for teachers, then it's a waste of everyone's time and energy. So right. there's no reason to do that. If it's got to be meaningful, it's got to support teachers. It has to be something. Back to this idea of radically transforming. Now, it's going to take time to radically transform systems.
Sure.
But teachers are ready for it. Yes. So we're excited to get it out the door as fast as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Very. I'm very excited. And like I said, I'm so excited that Matt, my guest last week, introduced us to one another so that that we could talk about this, because I really do think that this is going to give teachers what they didn't even know that they wanted, because of, like I said, this different approach to, you mean I get to pick all of my professional. And so I'm presuming, and I haven't asked this, so I guess I should ask this, when they're completed with their professional learning, you know, if they've come in and they have like taken, you know, 2 or 3 hours to do whatever, can you speak to like, do they get sort of certificate is completion?
Yeah.
So that they can turn that into their state to say, yes, I've done this and this and this and this through Ribbit Learning and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So teachers and coaches, by the way, we'll get to talk about coaches in a little bit, I hope, will get a digital portfolio of all of their professional learning. And so I'll kind of sneak in what I think your question is about the difference between professional development and professional learning here. So professional development is really, I always think of it as sort of episodic activity. So it's a thing I go to or something that is done to me, right? Depending on yes. how I perceive it. It may be awesome. I'm not, again, I am a professional developer. I count myself in that lot. So I say that respectfully. You know, I develop all kinds of teachers who don't want to be developed by me. So the result is they're not actually. It's a transaction, for a lack of a better term. And so, but if a teacher is going to workshops and trainings, obviously outside of the Learning Hub, so they're attending synchronous activities, they're actually able to import certificates, upload, you know, documents, any of the materials that they got into the Learning Hub so that they can add it to the artifacts of their learning and their work. So we can kind of manage all of that. Anything that happens outside of the system can be brought back into the system to keep track of. But while we're learning in the system, so professional learning for us is this active engagement that's driven by the teacher, and it incorporates these three critical elements: their customized professional learning plan, coaching from a live virtual coach, and all of the collaboration that they're engaging with in our collaborative professional learning networks. So those three areas of the system and together kind of make up what we think of as professional learning. The technology will actually track all of that engagement. And so their portfolio at the end, their certificate, doesn't just include the workshops and the training or the hour or two that it took for them to read, the article that they had. It's a compilation of all of those activities. So they really have a robust kind of certificate or demonstration of their learning as well as their growth, because at the end of their learning cycle, they'll go back to that pre-assessment, those indicators that they scored themselves on, and they'll rescore themselves to determine, you know, how much have I grown? You know, maybe it's incrementally. If I was a 1 out of 5 and now I'm a 3 out of 5, that's awesome. Right. Even a 1 out of 5 to a 2 out of 5 is awesome. And yeah, as far as I'm concerned. So they'll also have growth scores based on their self-report in terms of their improvement over the course of the year. So all of that will actually be captured by the software. And yes, teachers will have that to be able to print out for recertification or an evaluation system if that's what they want to use it for, whatever tools that they have to kind of plug into. They'll be able to provide, you know, kind of a certificate to show their learning.
Yeah, the verification. And yeah, absolutely. What you were saying about the difference between development and learning, you were thinking of what I was going to ask. I was thinking development happens to you. Like, we all develop at different stages and ages in our lives, different rates, but we don't do anything to make that happen. But learning is an active activity. I hate to use the word twice, but that's what it is. And so I'm presuming that you had thought of that, and that's why you've called it professional learning and not professional development.
Yes. And we try to be intentional with our language. Just as we ask teachers to be with their students, we want to be intentional with the way that we describe the process and the products of the learning. Because one, I think it demonstrates our respect for teachers and that they are professionals. But two, I think for us, it's one of the only ways that we can start to begin to change systems. Because in a lot of school systems, all of what we're describing in the Learning Hub is a foreign concept. This idea of professional learning in this way is really not something that they've been able to deliver themselves for a variety of reasons. And so providing this framework for a principal or a superintendent or the director of professional development in the school districts now gives them language to hook onto to really understand that we are not just coming in and doing workshops, you know, on early release, whatever day of the week you do that with your teachers, right? Teachers could use the Learning Hub during those days. Awesome. Right. They have a tool and a resource that they can utilize, but it isn't just this, you know, I used to say pop in, pop off and pop out, right? Like, that's not the goal of our work with teachers. Right. We really want them to see this as sustained and over time, because what we know from research is that's the kind of professional learning that moves the needle.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you get feedback from teachers that, like I said, that they're saying things to you like, I didn't even know this was what I was searching for, but this was absolutely what I needed and I wanted. Because I'm just thinking, you know, if someone has participated in your program that, as you mentioned, like my husband is currently full-time teaching. And so often he comes home and he's like, oh yeah, we had another meeting where we all had to learn about this. And then, you know, he'll talk about what the topic was and how, you know, a bunch of the teachers are talking to each other, they're doodling, you know, they're grading papers, they're doing anything and everything except listening, which I have a problem with. As teachers, we're supposed to be good students and expect from ourselves what we expect from our students. That's a side story. But at the same time, if they don't see the value in what is being presented to them, because maybe it's that same, you know, pathogen, bloodborne pathogen training that they've gotten every year since they've been a teacher, you know, that they could practically recite with the video at this point. But, you know, it is something that they're like, oh yeah, this is something I need and can learn from and choose to learn from. Do you get those kinds of, that kind of feedback from teachers?
Well, so I'll pause and say that we have not actually launched in the market yet. That's how startup we are. We're actually beginning a pilot in March, with teachers here in Arizona and with coaches to coach them. So yeah, when I say startup, we're building all of the planes while we're flying them and constructing, you know, the runway. So we're doing all things simultaneously. But to your point, as we were kind of focusing our efforts to learn from teachers and sharing initial designs and then iterating, because once we talked to teachers and those initial focus groups, we brought back ideas and kind of continued to share and receive input. Yes, absolutely. The teachers who are a little bit more aware and informed of what we're building are those teachers that are now our freelance coaches, who I'm so excited about. They're the cadre of teaching professionals that we're pulling together to support teachers' growth is outstanding, if I do say so myself. I can't even speak highly enough of them, and I can't wait to have more of them come across my path. But they are now sort of, because many of them are still classroom teachers themselves, or they're classroom adjacent, they're an instructional coach or some other kind of role in a district, really able to, with insight, say exactly the same things that you were saying, like, oh my gosh, I didn't even, if this had existed when, or if I had tools, or if my teachers that I coach now had tools like this. So we know we're on the right track. It's just getting the, you know, all four wheels of the car down and racing.
Right. Okay. I apologize.
No, you're...
Matt actually gave me a few different companies to look at, and there was one that I found on my own. And I know that one of them, and I was thinking it was yours, had already been out, and, you know, like 900 or 1,000 teachers had already been using it. So I apologize.
No, we can't wait for 900 or 1,000 teachers. We're very excited.
Well, this is going to help that. I hope.
Yes, hopefully. I fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you had mentioned before, and we've got about 10 minutes to go here. You had mentioned your coaches before, and I know you just touched on them a little bit. So do you want to further explain about your coaches?
Yeah. So one of the opportunities that I think is critical for teacher professional learning, obviously, is coaching. In order, in our kind of mindset, to provide every teacher, no matter what or where they teach, access to an instructional coach that they get to pick based on whatever, you know, profile interests they have or affinities that they might have, Ribbit needs to recruit, train, and hire literally thousands of freelance coaches. Because we are committed to developing and retaining teachers, our goal is not to bring teachers out of the classroom. That would be kind of sadly ironic. But I really think that with the leveraging of technology, we can give teachers who are in the classroom that actually don't want to leave the classroom opportunities to coach other teachers without having to, you know, impact their kind of contracted time with their school. So by using technology and the beauty of time zones, and in Arizona, we don't adhere to daylight saving. So it's one of those things I always get confused about. It's the sad thing, like, hey, I have a PhD, but time zones trick me.
Because they don't make sense.
They make no sense. But knowing that we can leverage technology and time zones to really maximize this matching of teachers, our goal is to identify teachers who are interested and have capacity and grow the capacity of schools to coach teachers. That means for us being able to support those individual teachers in an area that they might want to. Since you've worked in schools and I have too, you know that there are very few coaching positions available in my old district. Like, you either had to retire or something bad had to happen to you for a vacancy to be to open up. So there are thousands more teachers that could be awesome and amazing instructional coaches than there are current coaching positions in the systems that we have created. So at Ribbit, we want to, you know, identify all of those people, give them training, and then a technology and a pathway to be able to support teachers across the country. So right now we're recruiting coaches. Because of that idea of thousands of teachers turning into instructional coaches, sadly, many of those teachers might never have had coaching themselves, just depending on where they are in their career and what systems they've been able to work in. So in order to ground all of our coaches' work, both in the research on instructional coaching, and there's actually a lot of it, as well as the research on andragogy, the teaching of adults, which is different than pedagogy, the teaching of children, I've created a micro-credential course on instructional coaching that we're offering to anyone who's watching and interested in just becoming a coach or learning about coaching for free. So it is a self-paced, fully automated online course that's differentiated, uses universal design for learning principles and its development and its execution, really modeling for adults the kinds of instruction that we hope that they see and are able to translate then for their students. But this opportunity to really learn about instructional coaching and if it's right for them. And then people who have gone through the micro-credential, if they're interested in coaching for us, can go through a more traditional kind of coaching interview process. But it's one of the things that I'm really passionate about, this idea of equity and access. There are thousands of teachers who do not currently have access to the opportunity to be a coach, would never see themselves as a coach because of that. And that's horrible.
Right.
So we're, you know, back to this idea of no limits. Any teacher who wants to and desires to support other teachers' practice should have access to tools and systems to do that. And so that's really another part of what we're creating at Ribbit that I'm really proud of, is that, you know, the high school special ed teacher who wants to coach other high school special ed teachers, contact me. I have a coaching position for you. But art teachers and PE teachers and music teachers, right? Every special area teacher who would never be a coach in most school systems because they aren't a generalist, but who has huge value and potential and capacity, you know, we want them on our team to support teachers across the country. Because as we expand and continue to work with schools across the country in future years, we really will need a robust cadre of professionals who are excited to support other teachers learning and simultaneously learn more themselves, right? Because if you can teach somebody else to do it, your practice is going to get that much better.
Absolutely. So before we get any further, I do want to mention your website. I've had it up on the video screen, but for when this is just the podcast, it is ribbitlearning.com, and Ribbit is R-I-B-B-I-T in learning, of course, L-E-A-R-N-I-N-G.com. And so they can get all of the information that we have talked about. They can learn how to you know, apply to be a coach, go through the micro-credentialing of the coaching program and all of that sort of thing at that website. And it's so valuable to me because I would say 99.5% of my teaching career has been spent in rural schools where we just had one special education teacher or maybe two, Or maybe we had one music teacher, K-12 or K-8. And so, you know, one PE teacher for all those kinds of grades. And exactly what you're talking about, they don't have somebody in their district sometimes that can mentor them or coach them and say, you're on the right track. You're doing the right things. If you want to tweak something, let's talk about it. If you want to, you know, here's some places to find resources. That amount of time just in and of itself that would save the, especially those rural teachers, but new teachers too, that don't know where to look. They don't know who to talk to be able to plug into your coaching system and have access to people who are doing exactly what they're doing. You're going to get a, you know, you could get a metro school teacher of music in one location and have a, you know, a metro teacher in a different metro area that's teaching music of fourth grade. And those two can collaborate. And otherwise that the one may not have the access to anyone at all. So that is, I mean, if that was all you were doing, that in itself is just absolutely incredible. I mean, me, as I said, in most of my teaching career, I have been in rural schools where I have been the one or one of two special education people. Even my administration, having an administrator come in and evaluate me on what I'm doing, and they have no idea at all about special education other than those few classes they had taken, but they've never been in it, you know? And so having someone else to validate outside of, you know, that room, that building that I was in would have been massive. And so I'm super stoked about that part of it. Because
it's one of my favorite parts too.
I just know how valuable, how much that would have, everything that you're doing is valuable. I didn't mean that. How much that would have meant to me to just have somebody who I didn't know to start with, you know, because I always kind of felt like, oh yeah, if there is another special ed person in the building, they're going to commiserate with me. And, you know, of course they're going to build me up, but do I really trust that they know what they're doing? And everybody that I worked with did, but you know, it was, maybe that's just my own personality, but you know, just to have that person who doesn't really know me, but knows education and knows, you know, maybe, you know, really passionate about their subject. Like you said, you could have coaches who are new teachers, but maybe they just really have a super knowledge about, or they're super creative. And so therefore giving those ideas and walking alongside other people is just beautiful and incredible. And I'm so thankful to you for putting that together, because I never had a mentor. I was a mentor for someone for a year, but even with that, I mean, I didn't really have a lot of training to do it. Mm-hmm. And so to get the training to do it and then to be on the receiving end of it, I mean, it's just all, like I said before, you've really thought this out and you've really honed in on this is how we can help this situation. So absolute kudos to you for all of that. In this final minute or so, how can you wrap up? Is there anything that you wanted to say that I haven't given you opportunity to say?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for letting me join you and to share Ribbit with your audience. You know, we as a company really believe that teachers are central to accomplishing all of the goals that we want, really honestly, in a society, right? We know for decades that teachers are the number one impact and influencer in student outcomes. And it is beyond time that we develop and support teachers in a way that keeps them in the classroom so that we can get the kinds of outcomes that we want for our students and, you know, to build them into the future citizens that we want them to be able to do. And that's really what we're here to do at Ribbit. The passion and the commitment that we have as a company is to the classroom teacher and increasing this workforce that we have, because it is beyond time to do it. And now more than ever, for the students and the teachers that serve them, we've got to really radically transform how teachers think about and experience professional learning. And we're here to help. So thank you.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you, Ildi. It's been great. I'm just truly blown away by, And I'm glad I don't know some of the information with my guests before we get into it, because then I can truly have the honest reaction. And everything you saw today was my 100% true honest reaction to everything you're doing. It is truly awe-inspiring to me. And I'm so thankful that you and your company are doing this. For everyone else, please make sure to visit ribbitlearning.com. Pass this on to teachers that you know. Get them involved and let's get this up and running. And then join me next week for Sweet Treats is who my guest will be. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.